Lord. Isn't that a lovely wee song? Praise God. The Lord bless each one tonight. And we give everyone a warm welcome in their service. There's no hall for Sunday night. A fella rang me earlier today, and he was sort of apologising, but he's more or less promising next year that it won't happen again, type of thing. So look, we appreciate having the hall, but the hall's not available for us for Sunday night. So Sunday morning, and we'll not have a Sunday night service. In a minute, we have no hall. So just pray that the Lord will just have his way. And what can I do about it, really? I want to look tonight at 1 Samuel chapter 22, and I'm maybe missing a bit in chapter 21. And I was studying in chapter 20, really, and then I just felt to go over to this. Chapter 21 is really dealing about Saul, how that Saul was really after David. He tried to kill him 8 times. David spared him several times. And Saul goes as far as actually killing the priests. And there's 45, I believe it was, priests that Saul had killed. He got his men to kill them. And his men wouldn't kill them, but there's one fella did kill them. And he was in a certain place when David was there, and he seen David. And David more or less knew what he was going to do. And, you know, looking at it, it's hard to take in the badness in Saul when you see how God did use him. It's really hard to take in the badness in him. And how tiny he had some badness in him. And I don't want really to preach about Saul tonight. I'm not preaching about Saul. I'm going to be preaching about David. And I know David made mistakes, but they definitely wouldn't outweigh Saul. It's not that that makes any difference in a sense. Both are sinners. But I want us to look at this tonight, and I want us to see Christ in this portion of talk tonight. And I'm looking at David to get this picture of Christ. So follow with us tonight, and I'll try and bring out some things from us. David in Adullam, that was a cave, for he hid himself. And remember, he's hiding from Saul. And you know, if you go back to chapter 1, when he was at that priest's place, and he came with no weapons, and he told the priest he'd come in haste, he'd no weapons, and he asked the priest, have you any weapons? And he said, there's only the sword of Goliath here. And David got Goliath's sword, and he took it with him. And I'll tell you, that sword struck fear into a lot of people, that sword of Goliath. But David had it with him, and that's another sermon. There's another sermon on that sword. There's lots of sermons. There's so much in this book of Samuel, more than what I expected. And it just takes so much time to break it down, go through it, and then link in all the scriptures. But let's read from verse 1 and 2 and verse 23, and the Lord bless you tonight. 1 Samuel 22 then, and verse 1 and 2 and verse 23. And I'm just reading these verses to save time. You can read down through the full chapter if you want. I might refer to other verses. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, now listen to these words, everyone that was in distress and everyone that was in debt and everyone that was discounted gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Verse 23. Abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. And this verse, that verse 23, he's talking to one of the priests that was left, that escaped. There's one fella got away. The rest of them were killed. Let's bow our heads tonight. And I want you to remember me in prayer as well. And if you have a need tonight, just lift your hand before the Lord. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you this evening for your mercy, for your grace, for your love and your truth that you've showed toward each one of us. Father, I pray this evening that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. I cast down all reasoning, all vain imagination, every thought that's contrary to your word in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for the quickening of the Holy Spirit in our memory, in our mind, on this word tonight. And Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus Christ, you bind every work of the devil over every life and every home in this building. I plead the precious blood of Jesus Christ afresh on each one of us tonight. Forgive us every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed. Sanctify us and wash us afresh by the blood of the Lamb tonight. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost right now to help me. I thank you that you will. The prayer is spicy with hands raised. Lord, meet every single need tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. For those to lay aside sick, think of my own children, you'll touch them and heal them in the name of the Lord tonight. And for others, touch and heal and deliver in Jesus' precious name. Father, grant your wisdom now and your guidance. Meet every need in this house and those that's been praying for that's not even here but represented it here. We pray you'll just have your way in each one. Now bless your word, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You see, through the fear of the king, I can't really pronounce his name right, Achish, David fled to this cave of Adullam, you know, and it was Saul as well, he's fleeing from, and he was in solitude with God. And sometimes it's better to be alone with the Lord than it is to have friendship with the world, isn't it? And, you know, this act of separation was richly rewarded for David's brethren. And for his father's house went down thither, and you can read about it in chapter 17, verse 28, those that want to read it. And also there came many others to David seeking help, seeking refuge. Now, first of all, I want to look at the character of those that came to David. And the first thing I want you to see tonight, you can write this down if you want, they were distressed. And that's the character of those that came to David, they were distressed. The one thing here about David, and perhaps, you know, what we can think of the same as him, is these people were driven out of a necessity because they were distressed. And we're not really told what the distress was all about. The cause may have been the suffering of David or the unsettled condition of the country or some personal affliction or loss. In any case, it's a distress that concerns them to seek help. And the help that they're seeking is in David, the Lord's anointed. And every single one of us at one point in our life were distressed. And it caused us to seek for the greater David, the Lord's anointed. And just as these people here sought for the Lord's anointed and the help from the Lord, and that help was coming through David because they're distressed. And when we're distressed, there's only one place to go. That's in the Lord's secret place. The Lord's secret place. For the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are saved. The self-satisfied, you know, many times don't heed the claims of the one rejected. And David was rejected. And there's a lot of people didn't heed to him, but there's a lot did. And the Lord Jesus Christ was rejected. And the world today we're living in still reject him. They don't want him. But there's those that are distressed and they can run to the Lord and they're going to receive help. Revelation 3 and 20 says this, "Behold, I stand at the door knocking. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and he will sup with me and be with me." Now, I'm just bringing this all out tonight. I want to bring out to the Lord from this portion. It's maybe more like a gospel message, but I'm not going to apologize for that. This is the way I felt to bring it. And I've skipped the chapter to come to this, and I had part of it prepared. It was distress that brought the prodigal son home to the father's house in Luke 15 and 18. Distress. And distress can come upon people and they don't know where to go. But the Lord wants us to go to him. Here's another thing, and you can write this down about these people. This is all from our verses, what I read as opening tonight. They're debtors. They were in debt. They were debtors. And all of us were in debt. We're all in debt of sin. We're in a debt, for the Lord redeemed us. He paid the price for every one of us. We were in debt. And they came to David. Everyone was in debt. And the fleeing to David and espousing his case, those, they were bankrupted on the way, but they found help and they escaped from under the rule of the rejected, God-rejected Saul, and they were escaping from Saul. That's who they were escaping from. And every one of us were escaping from the enemy. But there's one thing to escape from the enemy, but you have to have someone to go to. And I tell you, the Bible says when unclean spirits come out of a man, that you have to get the right spirit to fill up again, or he'll have other spirits come back again. Isn't that right? And it's one thing to get cleaned out, but we need to get filled up. And I tell you, they were, you know, under all this with Saul, and now they're running to David. And I tell you, they're looking help, aren't they? Christ rescues sinners, doesn't he? That's who Christ rescues sinners, and is willing to bear the blame forever. The Lord Jesus Christ takes us in our debt. He takes us in our shame, and he clears from debt. And we had a debt we could not pay. And we needed someone to wash our sins away, and the Lord came and done it. And here David, the people that's in debt's coming to David, and David's going to help them. Luke 7:42 says, and when they have nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? And I tell you, that's what the Lord said. So these people, what you can see that came to David, had these conditions. Here's another thing they had. They were discontented. Discontented. And I tell you, there's people tonight, and often we're all guilty of it, because many of us are. I don't want to say everybody, but many times, who will admit when the night you think to yourself, boy, I've had a lot of thousands. I'd be happy. You know, if I had a bit of money, I could get myself a house or a car, whatever, I'd be happy. But there's millionaires tonight and they're not happy. They're discontented. And the Bible tells us we're to be content with such things as we have. That's what the Bible says. And these people were discontented with Saul's antics and Saul's acts. And they're coming to David, the Lord's anointed. And I tell you, when we're discontented, we need to go to the Lord. We need to tell the Lord about it. There's no point yapping in somebody else's ear. We need to get down on our knees and we need to seek to the Lord and pray to the Lord and tell the Lord all about it. For he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I tell you, the Lord will answer it. You see, those souls were embittered through the disappointment and harassing circumstances. They were thirsty, they were restless, their unsatisfied lives. And, you know, it's a plague, isn't it, really, that they're smitten with. Yet how there's few that seek refuge today, isn't there, in the presence of him alone who can satisfy. And the refuge in the presence of him alone who can satisfy is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And here, David, we're looking at tonight, the kingdom for that satisfaction, for they're discontented. Psalms 23 and 5 says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Remember, these are the words of David. Wrote, these are the words of David. These are prophetic words. And they're not just prophetic when David lived. They're prophetic tonight. They're still prophetic. Because the Bible is inspired from Genesis the whole way to Revelation. It's an inspired book. And you can take a verse out of here. People talk about taking a scripture out of context, but you can take any scripture out of it, and there's not one word void of the power of God. Every word has God's blessing on it, for it's God's word. And there's power with the word of God. You see, around the world, self-made broken cisterns. And that's what there is. There's self-made broken cisterns. And there's so many multitudes of folk. And they talk about all their complaints. and all the different things. And they go here and they go there and they're working on broken cisterns. But they never go to the heavenly David to tell him about it. And Jeremiah 2 verse 13 says this, and William Branham preached a tremendous sermon. I remember listening to it when I was 15 years old. I found a tape and he preached on the broken cisterns. That's I can remember even reading the book about it. 15 years of age when I first found it. And Jeremiah 2:13 says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed themselves at cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And I tell you, the Lord wants us to come to him. There's no other gimmicks that I preached about last week. God does not want gimmicks. God is against gimmicks. But he wants us to come to him in our distress and in our troubles. The Lord's our help. And not only is the Lord our help, the Lord's our only help. If you're depending on some man, I'll tell you what, he might help you sometimes, but he'll fail you somewhere along the road. Because the best man's only a man. But the Lord Jesus is more than a man. He's God, the very God, manifested in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. And you can come to him. He's reliable. He'll never let you down. He's only a prayer away. Contentment is learned here. Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. And sometimes we find ourselves in different circumstances and different positions. And I find over the years as a preacher, if you preach on healing, the devil will test you on healing. You let something happen here, something will take place because he wants to test you on it. If you preach on salvation, it's the same thing. And if he can't get to you, he'll get to close, somebody close to you. Whatever he can do, that's how he works. He's a killer, he's a murderer, and he's a liar. And the Bible calls him a thief, a liar, and a murderer. But Jesus Christ is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Hallelujah, he's the total opposite from the devil. Now here's another thing. I want you to see, why did they come to David? They came because they believed in him. They came because they believed in him. And why do we come to the Lord? We come to the Lord because we believe in the Lord. We believe in the Lord. When we pray to the Lord will hear us. The Lord will answer us. Whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believe you receive them, and ye shall have them. That's why we come. When we weren't saved, and we first come to the Lord, we had heard perhaps the book of Acts or Romans or Joel, that it'll come to pass in the last days, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we came to the Lord and we called upon him. They believed that David was God's appointed king, and his way was the right to reign over them. God had appointed him. Man appointed Saul. God appointed David. Man appoints many, but the Lord Jesus Christ was sent of the Father. As the Father sent me, so send I you. He's a sent one. He was sent into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. Praise God. They had in fact got their converted to David. Faith cometh by hearing. And I'm looking at the greater David when I say that. If we so believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, divinely appointed and highly exalted a name, and a king that's far above any other king and kingdom on earth, this King Jesus is far above all. This King Jesus doesn't wear a crown of thorns tonight, but a crown of glory tonight. The brow that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. And one day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the King of kings and he's the Lord of lords. Hallelujah. I tell you, they came to David. Here's another thing. They came because they were decided for him. I tell you, we reach a spot in our experience where we're fully decided for the Lord. Isn't that right? Fully decided. We're not waved, as a brother preached the other week about, you know, been waved with every wind of wave and every wind of doctrine, and one way here and one way there. The Lord wants us in the middle. Stay in the middle of the road. Amen. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Here a little, there a little, so is the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. They came because they were decided for him. Their belief led them to take the definite action. They not only heard the saying, but did them according to the ways of the wise.
Matthew 7:24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And I tell you, when you've got someone from the Lord, you're working on the rock. You're not working on the sand. You know, you mix mortar and you don't put enough cement in it, it's no use, sure it's not. It never hardens right. Amen. But when you make it right and you add the cement and the sand and it hardens it, you've got mortar. You have something you can work on. And you need your concrete foundation. And thank God we can have a concrete foundation. It is one thing to believe about Christ as the anointed Savior and King. It is quite another to take a stand with him and for him. And there's a lot of people say, I'm a Christian, but they're not willing to take a stand for the Lord. With him and for him, they're not willing to do it. When they're away from church and away with others, you would never know they're saved. You would never know they've ever been with the Lord. But the Bible says they took knowledge of the disciples, that they're unlearned and ignorant men, but they took knowledge they'd been with Jesus. I tell you, when you've been with Jesus, you'll never be the same. And these people were going to be with David, and they weren't going to be the same because they had refuge with David. Praise God. John 9:27, and he answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would you hear again? Will ye also be his disciples? And this is about the blind man. They didn't believe what had happened. And they said, how were his eyes opened? And he said, a man that is called Jesus have opened mine eyes. And they said, how could a sinner do such a thing? And he says, where he's a sinner or not, I know not. But one thing I know, he opened mine eyes. You know, Don Francisco used to sing a wonderful song about it. They brought in his parents and they grilled him for a while. Some song, it's a Bible-inspired song. And they grilled him for a while. And they said, he's old enough, asked him. And when they brought him in, he said, a man that's called Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what makes the difference. A man that's called Jesus. That's who we want to be praying till tonight. Looking till tonight for family, for their unsaved loved ones. We want to be looking till a man called Jesus. He makes a difference. He's a way maker. And we're going to him. We're decided for him. Hebrews 13:13, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Decision for Christ means separation from the world. Here's another thing. They came because they were prepared to submit to him. That's another reason they came. They were prepared to submit to the Lord. God doesn't want us a half submittal. He wants a full surrender. A full, complete surrender. Paul could say, I'm a prisoner to the Lord. Prisoner to the Lord. He was fully surrendered to the Lord. Having claimed him as their king, they yielded themselves into his hands. That's what these people done. And we claim Jesus as our king and we yield to his hands. Just like they did with David. For the honor of his name and for the advancement of his kingdom. How can we claim to have acknowledged Christ as our king if we're not surrendered ourselves to him? You see, this is our reasonable service tonight. To be fully surrendered to the Lord. Amen. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God wants us to submit to him. He's not saying you to submit to some organization or some man or persons. It's the Lord that we have to submit to. There's a lot of people tonight would never submit to the Lord, but they'd visit the Pope of Rome and they'd kneel down and kiss his ring that's on his finger. That's the truth now. And they would do whatever they're commanded to do. But our surrender is to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when William Branham went to the Vatican in Rome and he visited, and they told him that he could have a council with the Pope, and he said that would be all right. And they asked him what he'd have to do, and they told him he'd have to kneel down and kiss the ring on his finger. And he said, I'll call him Reverend or Minister, but I will not call him Father, and I will not bow down before him. He refused to do it, so he never had the audience. But there's a lot of other people, ministers, in a day gone by that went in and bowed before him. But I tell you, we will bow to none but Jesus. Amen? In the book of Daniel, Daniel was a man that the image was made of. And when the sign was made, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were commanded to bow down before Daniel, who they knew was a prophet, who they knew was God's anointed, and they said, "We'll not do it. We will only bow to Almighty God." They refused it. They never bowed and they never burned. But those that bowed burned. And some people think they're going the right road to take the shortcut or the easy way. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof the ways of death. Now here's what I also want you to see. What David became to them. I want you to see what David became to them. And the reading says he became a captain over them. That's what David became to them. David became a captain over them. As soon as they took their place, the followers of David, he assumed his power to lead. He was an ordained leader. He was an ordained captain over them. They would therefore look to him. And here's another thing for guidance. That's what they looked to him for. They'd come to David and they were looking to David for guidance. We come to the Lord Jesus Christ and we're looking to him for guidance. And he's put a guide in the church tonight. And the guide is not the general overseer or the archbishop, but the guide that God has put in the church is the Holy Ghost. That's the guide. And I tell you, we want the guide tonight. We don't want led by anything other else, but the Bible says the sons of God are led by the Holy Ghost. We want the guide. Amen. He's the guide that we're wanting. And when you submit to the Lord, you're going to have to submit to the guide. And they submitted to David as their captain and their guide. And we've submitted to Jesus Christ as our captain and guide. And he sends the Holy Spirit into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." Amen. And he is our guide. Their attitude to David was not my will done, but thine. And that's our attitude to the Lord. These people didn't know what to do, and they came to David for his instructions. He was going to tell them, "What will thou have me to do?" This is the attitude in the heart that's needed to be received. This is what God wants. Having redeemed us with his own blood, Lord and Master, even Jesus Christ, he guides us. And I'll tell you, he won't guide us away from the word of Scripture. He'll guide us to the Scripture. He'll guide us to the word. Psalms 32, verse 8. "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." Hallelujah. That's the Lord's word tonight. The Lord says he'll guide us. The Lord says he'll instruct us. Maybe there's someone in this meeting and you're praying for the Lord to lead you in a certain direction. And you're praying for the Lord to guide you in a certain direction. If you acknowledge the Lord and commit to the Lord, he will definitely guide you. Amen. And if he doesn't speak, don't do anything hasty. That's the best advice you could ever get. Never do nothing hasty. Wait on the Lord. "For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall walk and not be weary, run and not faint. They'll mount up with wings as an eagle, and they'll go into heavenly places that will wait on the Lord." Lead thou me should be our prayer of the night. Amen. Here's another thing. They came to David for the protection. Amen. For his protection. Having become the disciples of David, they exposed themselves to the wrath and the enmity of the followers of Saul. They who obey God of this world will always be at war in their heart with the followers of the Lord's anointed. And that's the truth. "But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world." And I tell you, when you step out and follow the Lord, it'll not matter if you're on a site or you're working, they'll always be wanting to put you down, find a fault with you, discredit you, ruin your testimony, speak against you. And if it's not you, they'll say, "Oh, such the one, do you know him? Did you know what he done this, or she done this, or she done that?" That's the world. Do you know why? Because the Bible says he is an accuser of the brethren. Who? The devil. The devil accuses the brethren. Amen. The devil is accuser of the brethren. That's who's your accuser of the night. That's who's my accuser of the night, is the devil. He'll accuse you. He's a smart boy, isn't he? He's so in your face, bold, as they say. And he'll accuse you. But God's for us. Therefore, we should not be moved. David said, "Abide with me, fear not." Verse 23 of our text tonight. "For he that seeketh my life, seeketh thy life. But with me thou shalt be in safeguard." Hallelujah. I tell you, if you abide with the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be in safeguard. I'm going to tell you that again. You'll be in safeguard when you abide with the Lord. Amen. When we abide with the Lord, we'll be in safeguard. For we've got one greater with us than the one that's in the world. He made the devil, and he made the devil as a tool in his hand to bring about his great plan and his great purpose. And the devil's only been used. But it's the Lord that's the master of it all. Here's another thing for reward. He came to David for reward. I'll tell you, the devil will give you no reward. But the Bible says there is a reward with the Lord. Hebrews says he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. He said to Abraham, I'm an exceeding shield and thy great reward. He's a rewarder tonight to them that seek him. But there was no rewarder with the enemy that they left. And I tell you, the devil will promise you the world and he'll rob you. Promise you the world and rob you. But the Lord Jesus Christ will give you life and that more abundantly. He says, beloved, wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and gain good health, even as thy soul does prosper. The cause of David, you know, it was a forlorn hope, wasn't it? It was the cause of God, therefore its ultimate triumph for sure. They who suffered with him in the days of his natural rejection would no doubt be honored with him in the days of his exaltation. And there's a lot of people suffered with David in the natural, but then David was promoted, and as David was promoted, they were blessed as well. David remembered them. And I tell you, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. Romans 8:17, if we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified together with the Lord. The day is coming when this despised one shall be crowned Lord of all. Amen. The greater David is coming. He come in three sons' names: Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. There's a David that's coming, the greater David. Amen. And those who followed him in the rejection will be abundantly rewarded when they enter into the joy of the Lord. Rejected the world, rejected everything for the Lord. Jesus says, there's no one that's given up nothing and not be rewarded. That's what he said. There's an reward for God's people. Matthew 25:21, I'm almost finished. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Isaiah 53, and I'm going to close in verse 12. Therefore I will divide him his portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out, his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. I tell you, David was in the cave, and he was coming out of it. And the people went on to him. And we go on to the Christ at the cross. But he's no longer the cross tonight. And he's no longer in the tomb tonight. He come out of it. The grave couldn't hold him. He come out of it. He broke the bars asunder and he rose triumphant over the foe. And I tell you, he has a sword tonight. Sword of the Lord. Let's come and seek the Lord tonight. I hope you've got something from it. From what's been said tonight. I hope it's helped somebody. And bless somebody. Just pray for us for Sunday morning. The Lord will help us. We might continue in this. I don't know. Just whatever the Lord leads. Let's come and seek the Lord tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for the life of David. And we praise you for the greater David, the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely we can say tonight, with one of old, a greater than David is here. A greater than Solomon is here. A greater than all the kings is here. The Lord high and mighty. Oh Lord, we praise your name this evening. Lift you up, ye gates, ye everlasting gates, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory but the Lord mighty in battle? We thank you, Lord, this evening you've never lost a case. For you're the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We acknowledge you tonight in this house. We acknowledge you tonight in these scriptures. We see you, Lord, when we look at this book. We see you, Lord. We thank you for your protection. We thank you we can run to you when we're distressed. We can hide in your great pavilion. Lord, as the hen gathereth the brood under, you can gather us, Lord, and protect us from all the wiles of the enemy. For the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. Lord, David said, I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. Father, this evening, bless your people in this house tonight. Help us to seek your face. Lord, if there's any distress in this house or listening into this message, I'm asking in the name of Jesus Christ, they'll be distressed no more. Pray that the Holy Spirit will liberate them. Pray the Holy Spirit will free them. Pray the Holy Spirit will deliver them and give them the victory over the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, redeemed us. Lord, we which not a people have now become the people of God. Lord, we were down and undone without God and his Son. But we thank you, Lord, you lifted us out of the merry clay and you set our feet on the King's highway and you put a new song in our souls today, even praises unto our King. Lord, we pronounce you as King of our lives and Lord of our lives tonight, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Father, we do earnestly pray for our children and for all our loved ones that's near and dear to us. We ask you for the salvation of their souls, that not one of them will be lost, Lord, but the Holy Ghost will go to work on every one of them. May the Holy Ghost go and work on them. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Father, we bless you tonight. We love you tonight because you first loved us. Help us to be your faithful servants. Help us, Lord, to go in the way you direct us. May the Holy Spirit lead us. May the Holy Spirit guide us, prosper us and bless us and heal us and touch each one. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, as we spend a time tonight to seek you, help the brothers and sisters pray and seek your face. Lord, for we know that your ear is ever open to their cry, and your arm is not shortened, but you're mighty to save by the fewer by many. Oh God, may there be many that slain to the Lord, I pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Let's continue just to seek the Lord tonight.